Okay, don't show me that again. Right, Madam Chair, meeting is yours.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
This is the North Los Angeles County Transportation Coalition Joint Powers Agency Board of Governors meeting of Monday, October 20th, 2025. Roll call. Chair McLean.
Here.
Thank you. Director Gibbs. Absent. Director Hanaway. Absent. Vice Chair Chris. Thank you. Director Mann. Thank you. Director Niebla. Thank you. Director Barger.
Here.
Thank you. Director Pastrella.
Here.
And Director Pastrella.
Present.
I see you're trying to get unmuted. I need you to confirm actually that you're on county business virtually and that there's no one under 18 in the room with you at this time.
That's correct. Confirmed.
I'm going to take that sound as a yes. County council, that's okay. Can you get on camera and give me a thumbs up?
I'm driving. I'm sorry. You want me to get my social security number?
Laura.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see if he.
We're going to take it as a. Can you do it in the chat, Mr. Pastrella? Can you put an I in the chat? There you go. It's in the chat. Let me make sure I see it there. And yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Mr. Pastrella, thank you. Present. Director Berlin, thank you. Director Bishop.
Present.
Thank you. Director Olson.
Here.
Thank you. Ex officio board members, Director Tompkins, excuse me, he's absent, I know. Director Aguilar.
Here.
Thank you. Director Hughes-Leslie.
Here.
Director Mendez, absent. Director Perry is not a voting member, but is present. You're not a voting member today, Mr. Perry. Director Letts. And Director Letts, you are a voting member today. And your JPA staff present is Arthur Sohikian, your executive director, and present as well is legal counsel Laura Jacobson. With that, Madam Chair, we have a quorum of, let me make the count for you, 11 voting members today. So we need 6 votes to pass any motion today. With that, Madam Chair, we do have a quorum.
Wonderful, thank you. Supervisor Barger, would you mind leading us in the pledge?
I would be honored if you're able to please stand, face the flag, put your right hand over your heart, begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any public comments?
Let me do the announcement for public comment, Madam Chair. So we urge people to email me in advance of the meeting. We did receive 2 comments. I will go through that when we get to that agenda item, number 9. At this time, if members of the public would like to use the raise hand function to speak or use the *9 function, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the board today in the public comment? Seeing none, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. We will now move on to the consent calendar. Does anyone wish to pull an item from the consent?
Oh, excuse me. We do have a Brady Claire, Brandy, excuse me, as a public comment.
Hi, sorry, and I couldn't figure out how to raise my hand.
I can hear you though.
Oh.
Hold on.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead and try one more time, please.
Go ahead and try.
Hello? Yeah, hello. I think that Perhaps people on Zoom can hear me, but maybe people in the room cannot. Okay.
I don't see anything on my screen that I can change as well to let her talk. I'm not getting the mute thing.
Your view turned off.
She does not. I can't see her speaker. No, she's on. Yeah, she's here, but she never. Try again, please.
Hello, hello. Hi, testing.
No.
Arthur, this is Mark Pastrella. I can hear her on Zoom. Okay. And now you can, probably can see me. You were trying to confirm what you can
go
see.
Ahead. Go ahead, Brandy.
You can. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, Brandy. So this is item number 4 under public comment.
So I apologize. Am I supposed to, if I have a comment on a specific agenda item, do I wait for that item to come up or do I speak now?
Which item were you wanting to speak on?
Number 9.
You wanted to speak on number 9?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do that?
Wait until that item comes up.
Is that item being pulled from consent?
Okay, we have someone who wishes to speak on item number 9, so that will be pulled. Anyone else have any items they wish to have pulled?
Number 7, please.
Number 9.
So that's 7 and 9. And then I would like to pull 12 and 13.
Harry, the show. We'll ask for comment in a minute.
Yeah, so Ms. Carey, we are pulling item 9. So when that item does come up, you will be able to speak on that item.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Okay. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the minute? Okay, good. Cool. Then we will go on to item number. Yeah, we'll wait.
Okay, item 7, then call item 7.
Item number 7. First, we have.
All right, good afternoon. This is our Bergen Chan Station with our January and September third quarter statistics. For total collisions, we're down 6.6%. For our fatal collisions, we're up 3%. Injury collisions, we're down 11%. For non-injury collisions, down 4.1%. DUI collisions are up 22%. DRS are also up 134%. And that's due to more people trained on how to total citations are down 14%. Passenger citations are down 16%, and our enforcement index is 19.1, which is actually up from 17.1 from last year. You guys have any questions? For a traffic index, we're it was.
I'll put up another thing.
We're shooting for 20.1.
Hello.
So we're trending in the right direction.
Can you please speak into the microphone so that people can hear you on the virtual?
Which numbers?
In general, we had a total citations 8,000 last year. It was the same time hearing. It was 5,600. I was just curious if you did a lot.
Yeah, we have a lot more. Yeah, we have more enforcement motors out there, and we have different our operations and enforcement.
Wait a second. On my copy, it shows 20. Am I looking at
the Santa Clara? Right?
Yeah. It shows 9853 for 24 on total citations, and then 2025 is 8384, which is less.
Yeah, it's a little higher. The total citations, yes.
Right. Okay. So actually, this year is down. Is that because more people are obeying the law?
Of course, more visibility.
I'm sorry?
And we're out there, more visibility for perhaps.
Okay. And I'm wondering, are you, you're stepping up, I hope, the enforcement of people running red lights, blatantly running red lights.
Yeah, we're at various intersections, either from what we observe or what people call in what they observe, or yeah, we are enforcing red lights more than
that. Because that is so dangerous.
It is.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much.
We do have a member of the public, but we'll ask for that after you go through the, you need CHP.
And I understand the Highway Patrol is online.
Yes, this is Lieutenant Jonathan Yoakum with the California Highway Patrol. This year compared to last year, our total citations has actually been quite a bit more. We issued approximately 8,838 citations this year. During the same quarter compared to last year, it was only 5,672. So we've upped by almost 3,000.
Well, you're item 12, but I don't know how fast they're going to move through the agenda.
Additionally, if this quarter compared to last quarter, the number of citations have risen, and the amount of citations for individuals driving over 100 miles per hour, our DUI arrests has increased. Our traffic collisions have decreased by 19 over the same quarter. The fatal traffic collisions have decreased by 6. Injury collisions have gone up by 12. That's not a huge uptick in that. And property damage only collisions has decreased by 25. So overall, the collision picture is about the same, but the overall enforcement has skyrocketed as far as that goes.
Okay. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up is
now we Lancaster. Have Lancaster.
Good afternoon. Sergeant Aaron Boris from Lancaster Station. So these are going to be the stats January 1st, 2025, and September 30th, 2025.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you use the microphone, please, so the people virtually can hear us?
To repeat, this is January 1st, 2025, to September 30th, 2025. Total collisions, 17.7. It's going to be an increase of 23%. Our fatal collisions are down 14, which is a negative 7% decrease. Injury collisions, 799. That's a positive 22%. Non-injury collisions, 914, a positive 26%. DUI collisions are also up 74. That's a 14% increase. DUI arrests are also up to 306, that's a 8% increase. Citations are also up 2,071 plus 8% increase. Again, our hazardous citations are up. I'm giving out more citations, 1717, which is a positive 14% increase. We have seen an increase in our collisions. However, we've also tried to combat that with our increase of citations to help with the traffic index. Right now, we're employing 3 extra grant-funded traffic cars, 3 a week, to help with traffic enforcement events.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Palmdale.
Good afternoon. Josh Martin, the operations captain of Palmdale Fire Station, reporting the same period as everyone else. We're slightly down for solo traffic collisions, 1%. Same with injury collisions and non-injury collisions. The only thing we're up on is fatal collisions. We're at 15 compared to 11 last year. The trend has definitely slowed down. We were up about a couple months ago, so we've slowed down the pace. DUI collisions are up, but also DUI collision. Arrests are up as well. Total citations and hazardous citations are down. We attribute that to the fire responses at the beginning of the year, as well as a couple of our motor deputies being on leave for a few months this year. Looking to get that up, not only with the PM enforcement that we're doing with the motor deputies, but also we're going to be working with the city to put a PM enforcement car out for traffic. Lastly, when it comes to staffing, we have 24 deputy vacancies. We had 604 overtime shifts in the month of September, and we had 1 carp shift per detective, so about roughly 20 carp shifts. Any questions?
Say the DUI collisions and DUI enforcement up, yeah, what percent?
34% DUI collisions up. So obviously these are going to be contributing factors. So part of that's going to be the recognition of being drunk during the collision and us statting it as such. So we have 115 this year compared to 86 last year, as well as we have 321 arrests compared to 241 arrests last year. So 80 arrests, 33%. We got a training officer and a training working early morning shift in the UI Park, so that's pretty accurate.
Do you have a some logic because I'm seeing the Highway Patrol, Santa Rita, Lancaster, and you are all as far as the DUI enforcement.
Logic as to why we're arresting folks?
No, I know why you're arresting. You know, what gives you the ability to arrest? I mean, how?
Why is there more DUIs out there? Unsure. It could be a lot of times it's something going on emotionally with somebody. It could be social. It could be economics. A lot of people go through those type of vices when things are happening in the community. And a lot of times also it's just us recognizing and seeing. We've been taking a proactive stance and finding folks that are driving impaired, and it's being recognized more by the public as well. May call it.
Thank you.
Are there any questions online? Do we have public comment on this item?
We're on item number 7. If there's any members of the public, please use the raise hand function. If you can, on your Zoom, if you're on the phone, use the *9 function. At this time, Madam Chair, I am seeing no public comment on item number 7.
Okay, thank you very much. We will now move on to item number 9. Metrolink North Los Angeles County Antelope Valley Line Update. Is someone here or online?
Yeah, Mr. Huber calls here.
Chair, members of the board, thank you for the invitation and presenting on this item. We have a PowerPoint that I can walk through where it could address the issues that were recently reported in the press about the potential closure of the Lancaster station on Metrolink.
Okay.
Why don't I do that then? I think the PowerPoint is part of the back.
Can you state your name, please?
Yeah, sorry. Paul Hubler. I'm Chief Strategy Officer for Metrolink.
Thank you.
Let me address the proposed closure for Lancaster Station on the Antelope Valley Line. We view this closure as of Lancaster Station to disembark passengers as inconsistent with this coalition's strong support for an outstanding grant application submitted this summer, the amount of $205 million to build capacity on the line, number one. Number two, the closure of the Lancaster Station would trigger a federal civil rights review of this reduction in passenger rail service, and I'll go into that a little further on. Just as a reminder, Metrolink submitted an application seeking congestion mitigation and air quality improvement funds with the unanimous support of the coalition. LA Metro subsequently evaluated numerous applications that were submitted from all across Los Angeles County and rated the 3 AVL projects in the highly recommended category. These applications were then forwarded to SCAG for a final review and determination expected either in November or December. I note that the calculations, and this is a concern we should have with this proposal, calculations of air quality and other benefits of the AVL projects were predicated on future ridership growth. That growth did not account for the potential closure of Lancaster, which is the busiest station on the Antelope Valley Line other than Cuban Station or above. In fact, Lancaster is the 4th busiest of all 67 stations in the entire Metrolink network. 500 to 600 people boarding daily, or about 10,000 to 13,000 boardings per month. What's at stake, as I mentioned earlier, is the $205 million in federal air quality congestion reduction benefits, which would fund projects that would enable half-hourly bidirectional service on the Antelope Valley Line, Santa Clarita. Awarded, those funds would be leveraged against $117 million in local match funds that were programmed by this coalition, the $107 million that was awarded by the state of California. I would also want to address the proposal, again, as has been reported in the news media and at the city council meeting, the recent Lancaster city council. Forcing Lancaster-bound passengers to complete their journey by bus With lengthened commute times that cause confusion and frustration, these concerns we heard voiced by several members of the public at a recent Lancaster City Council. Under the 1964 Federal Civil Rights Act and related regulations, major transit service changes must be evaluated at the planning and programming stages to determine whether changes have a discriminatory impact on protected minority or low-income providers. This proposed service change undoubtedly would trigger preparation of the Title VI Civil Rights Report to assess any adverse impacts on those populations. That report would require the review and approval by the Federal Transit Administration. According to prior reports that MetroLink prepared following the increase in service that was supported again by this body, by Los Angeles Metro Board of Directors, to increase service on the Antelope Valley Line. At that time, we prepared a Title VI report, and nearly two-thirds of those who boarded Lancaster are local. 80% are minorities. In closing, I wanted to let you know the AVL is among the seven MetroLink lines with the greatest potential for growth, lagging only San Bernardino and Orange County with ridership. We would gladly work with Los Angeles County and the City of Lancaster on homelessness challenges involving our service or the stations that we serve. We appreciate and encourage your steadfast support for investment in enhanced service capacity on the Antelope Valley. With me here today is Hillary Monsall, Chief of State and Security for MetroLink, and I'd like to ask him to come up and we'll address some of the safety and security issues.
Hello, good afternoon. Again, my name is Hillary Campbell. I'm the Chief Safety and Security Compliance Officer with MetroLink. What I wanted to do is just kind of address some of the security concerns. I know that it's been
Hillary, I'm sorry. Can you reintroduce yourself? I don't think everyone heard you.
Oh, sure. My name is Hillary Campbell. I'm the Chief Safety, Security, and Compliance Officer.
Thank you.
So, but just real quick, I just wanted to point out a couple of things. I know that my predecessor, that in 2022, I believe he worked with the committee to increase security, put some additional metrics in place. Since then, I came out in April 21st, introduced myself, and you know, I committed to increasing, you know, security further, which I did, and I'll go over that a little bit. But right now, so MetroLink pays Lancaster Station security for Lancaster Station. There's two security officers for three shifts, and it's 24/7. And we pay that out of our own budget. Lancaster is the only station in our district, or not our district, but our system that we provide security for 24/7. That was one of the,
because I need it?
Not deals, but well, I can't answer that. I can get back to you on that. But that's like a historical. I think goes back about 4 years, 5 years, if I recall. I'd have to look into that. But I do know that we provide, you know, security for that. For example, in 2024 it was a cost of $501,000. In 2023 it was $480,000. The other thing I want to point out is when I came out here and introduced myself April 21st, there was security, you know, mentioned to me, and you know, how we're going to increase security and that sort of thing, and improve the, you know, customer experience. But there was never any homeless concern brought up, you know, and we're very willing to work with, you know, the City of Lancaster on that. But I just wanted to point that out, because if you'd known about that, we would have.
Mark, let me finish and then you can comment. Okay, please.
It was April 21st.
Of what year?
This year, 24. First 24.
Yeah. You were with Mr. Najarian at the time?
Yes, that's it. But so anyway, regarding the security, we still provide security, still in our budget for next year. The other thing I want to talk about is fair enforcement. So back in 2022, when my predecessor came out here, he agreed to have five security officers. I think that's the security officers that ride, they're dedicated to the AVL line daily. Now, two of those officers are on morning trains. They ride separately, work with conductor to do fare checks. And then the other four are the afternoon and evening trains, and they all, you know, alternate trains. They work with the conductor to do fare checks on at all the trains throughout the day, assemblies a week. The other thing that in 2022, they committed to doing 50 scans a day on AVL line trains. We've increased those to 500 scans a day, you know, making sure that people have proper fare to get on the train. The other thing that we've also increased is how we do fare enforcement. So we changed and kind of increased the amount of fare enforcement we're doing. So for example, at LA Union Station, before anybody can get on the train up to the platform, we streetcar the customers and make sure they have valid fare before they get on the train. If they don't have valid fare, they don't get on the train at Union Station. So that has increased tremendously. So for example, we have Allied Security at Union Station. For the fourth quarter of 25, we did 2,670 streetcar operations, and that was in addition to LA County Sheriff's Department, which we also contract that. We did 88 streetcar details through the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. We also have, obviously, the security on the platform. They use security checks as well as fare enforcement, making sure that the, you know, the passengers on the platform have valid fare to get on a train. They work with the crew to make sure that that is completed. And the and then, like I said, on board our trains, we've increased the fare enforcement as well. So, for example, for train rides through fourth quarter of 2025, Allied Securities conducted 1,153 train rides, as well as LASD, who's conducted 209 train rides. And that also is part of our fare enforcement program. We also have an MOU with LASD Sheriff's Department. Obviously, we contract LASD, but it's under the transit division of the county, the Sheriff's County Department. So we were in close collaboration with them. If there's any issues, we should get them addressed right away. If there's issues on the platform, our security guards right away call our security operations center. And what they're instructed to do is they contact the ROC, who then dispatches the, you know, the LA County Sheriff's Department. So if there's any issues, it's like home therapy, we can dispatch immediately. And then homeless, I know the homeless outreach. So the homelessness is a big topic now. So we do homeless outreach. We have three organizations that we work with within Lancaster. One is Grace Resources, One Love Pantry, and Salvation Army. And we don't provide tickets to any homeless shelter, just to put that out there. So anybody, if an organization wants to buy fare for, you know, unhoused, we will sell to them, but we don't provide any free fares for any passengers. And then the other thing we are very aggressive on is our right-of-way enforcement, which is trespassing and cleanup. So when I say cleanup, we have a number of homeless encampments that pop up along the railroad right-of-way, which is obviously a dangerous situation for them. You know, we strike quite a few of them due to the various issues. But we do have a program in place. It's continual every Monday. Our maintenance way department goes out with the Los Angeles Police Department, or I'm sorry, the LA County Sheriff's Department, and they give the unhoused a 3-day eviction notice. So they have 3 days, you know, to vacate the property the right way. By Thursday, if they're not gone, we go in and we clean up the right way. And we do this system-wide. I have not run the numbers for the AVL line, but I can get those for you. But we do, you know, we do work diligently. And actually, there's the UP and the BN. They also have, obviously, issues along their right of way. Their challenges are a little bit different right now with the container theft. But we did have conference calls today with both of them to try to work with them to get their right of way cleaned up as well, because it affects all of us, whether it's, you know, because what happens is we'll
you know, we'll just place them on our side and they'll go to their side and vice versa. So we do work with the other railroads communities. If there's ever any issues, all you have to do is call us and we'll work to address it. So
thank you. Vice Chair Chris, did you wish to make some comments? We'll call those in the room, just for those online, we'll call those in the room first and then we'll move on to you that are online.
I'm a little surprised that you said that you didn't know anything about the homeless problems. To just bring it up on the April 21st meeting. We were bringing it up here for 7 years. 5 years ago, we were going to close the Metrolink station because of it. Kathy, remember that?
Twice a year.
Absolutely. And that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because it's such a big problem and we're trying to get you aware of it. And not to get the threats by Paul for the air quality. And it's kind of hard for me to believe that you're challenging the Lancasters in the air quality area because all ATA buses are electric. We asked Metrolink to change its station redesign into hydrogen, and you said no because of the air quality. So it was a good try, but it's not working. For the last 9 months, I asked in January for Trolleys to put facial recognition cameras up, and we did that. We have our ambassadors that meet all the trains, and they meet all the trains, and they give us a report. Trolleys city manager, Ken Mann, city councilman, both rode the train and observed, and they all come up with pretty close to the same number, between 20 to 25 per day that are coming in that appear to be homeless.
Can I ask a question on that though? So on the facial recognition, does it identify someone as homeless? I know your comment was that the facial recognition identified the homeless, so I wonder how that's done.
No, I said that it appears to be homeless because they are carrying the bags. They're carrying the bags. It appears, I'm not saying they are homeless. They could work for the county, you know, but they appear.
There are a lot of county employees that take Metrolink.
I'm sure there is, but a lot of the homeless, for whatever reason, and I'm not saying it's Metrolink, I'm not saying it's the county. I will say directly that we've been told or have an affidavit by a veterans group that they were paid by the county.
So we can see it. You have evidence, and we have only on phone. We've gone out. I mean, I could argue that we have a county library Boulevard that has homeless people, but I don't point to the city and say fix it. We work together.
I agree. Why have you called everybody else except for me? Why has Dave Perry called all the other members except for me? You guys do reach out. You
don't reach out to any other member here about this issue. I don't think I have.
You did too.
Who did I call? Who did you say I called?
You talked to Troy Dave.
Okay, well, I'm not Dave.
Huh?
I did say Dave.
In a minute.
And you said I called
you. You reached out to Trolleys also.
No, I did not.
Okay.
Did I know you scratched your chest and paid your salary. Did I reach out to you?
We only had a short conversation with him. I went to you on Sunday.
A conversation or a topic that tomorrow I'm going to bring this up today. Right. That was it. Okay. We did not discuss it.
No, but what was the comment?
Okay, excuse me. I'm so sorry, too.
No, I'm sorry, you know what, Marcia, I'm sorry, but for me, if he's going to say I'm outreaching or calling you city manager and not you, I would call you over your city manager any day of the week because you are the acting mayor. Okay, so I would not call your city manager.
My understanding is you said to Trelease, if we push this through and we push it through, you'll just call reps.
I did say that.
All right. That's
I did say that because that's what I do. Whenever you do stuff like this, I have to call reps to say, Rex, is this what you want to do?
I didn't do it. City Council has done it. The City Council has done it. Our police department, our staff, everybody is saying there's a problem. We're elected to do something about it. We're elected, and that's why we came here. We didn't say it's shut down. We said we're going to bring it here. This board has no authority to shut it down. Okay, right. The city of Lancaster does. We own the station. We came here for help. Okay, so we came here for everybody to, and I've been reaching out, like you said, at least twice a year for the last 7 years, reaching out for help because it's a problem. Everybody in Lancaster recognizes it's a problem. They work with Grace Resources. Grace Resources are the ones that came to us and said, there's a problem. People are coming off the train and they're saying, okay?
You're going to do my name, the PA's and Paul.
Jeremy Johnson. We also had a meeting with the Ministerial Association. That's through Grace Chapel. And they, part of our cleanup and part of taking the homeless out of the ditches that were the Omnibus Creek. So we're trying to clean it up, but like anybody, before you can start cleaning it up, you have to stop the flow in. You have to stop the flow in. We've asked for help. We have not got any help. Our intention right now is to close the MetroLink January 1st. Unless we get some help. If we get some help from on how we can do it, where it can be so there's no homeless individuals getting off at the MetroLink. I'm just not making this up. It's a constant problem. It's been there. And Catherine, you have to say, I've been bringing it up. Constantly.
I'm not debating that you bring it up, but we put someone on your city council on MetroLink, and I'm going to pull all the minutes that I actually pulled back and went to MetroLink so that she's my alternate, so that she can take the lead. I believe this was not brought up once at MetroLink, and the purpose of putting her on MetroLink was to give a voice to Lancaster. So, you know, Mark, I think it's a give and take, and I get it. There's no question. I mean, you know, the one thing that I think we have to acknowledge is the work that we're doing to put in interim housing along Sierra Highway, working with the city of Lancaster, working with the city of Palmdale, so that we have identified beds for those that are unhoused in Yamhill. I'm not talking about the ones that you think are being shipped out there. I'm talking about people that are on the street, which you and I know exist. The Arco down on Lancaster, you go down there, it's inundated with the unhoused.
Yeah.
So it's important to work together. I'm not denying that, but I can't fix something that when I talk to our HI, and we had outreach teams out there, I think up until last week, because we knew this was coming, and they cannot verify what you're saying. That's why I'm asking you to give me names. I'm happy to work with you, but closing the MetroLink station to me is unfair to those that depend upon it on a day-to-day basis. And then I understand the comment was, well, you can close down Palmdale too, and they can figure it out from after. You know, I just find that not to be.
I am saying that we are responsible enough to give Palmdale a heads up.
Yeah, and tell them they can close it too, and let people catch it after.
Okay. And do you have any other problems at the end of the line? You have any other complaints other than lung cancer?
No, you don't.
So what I read in the paper was totally false about the other ones.
I don't know what you read.
Well, the thing is I just need to kind of weigh in on here too, is because We don't know how many people are getting off from Los Angeles at the other stations. They could be coming to Burbank, Santa Clarita, San Fernando. We don't know, and I don't know how you, I kind of question as well as just 25 homeless that you think are homeless getting off at your end. How many people are commuting that need to have that train go all the way out to Lancaster in order to get to work, and making them get off and take a bus? We're trying to not have that happen. We're trying to improve Metrolink so that we don't have that happen. But if you don't mind, let's just give, if anyone else has any comments, please let's hear those comments.
Can I just say something more, Sean? This is a healthy discussion we're having, I think. And I appreciate it. I think it's a good discussion because I'm hearing what's being discussed at the council meeting. And it's concerning me. I mean, I do know, you know, Mark, the last thing I want, and I don't think you want it either, is the Department of Justice coming in on us. All right? And that is not an idle threat. That is something that could happen tomorrow. All because of the fact that we're not working together. It's important for us to work together. I'm happy to do that. But when you say solve it, what are we solving? Are we solving getting all the homeless off of Lancaster Boulevard, that where the perception is that they're coming off the train
and
hanging out in the...
I never asked for
but
that.
Here's the problem. Lancaster Boulevard and the train station. It's all one, because when they leave the train or they hang out up there, they walk over and they hang out in front of the sheriff's department, correct? When I go to visit you, they're hanging out there, and then they walk down Lancaster Boulevard.
They're actually not, because it's going to answer Marcia's question too, how do we know? Does it get off the quad? It used to be our homeless shelter was right across the three of us. It was a perfect storm where they get off, and then they would walk across the tracks. They would have a home shelter. They walk less than a half a mile and have a place to eat. And then they have the park, and then they have the transgender treatment center. And that's the perfect storm for any of the cities that are out there like that. So how do we know? They get off the train, they go down to get something to eat from Bridge Resources. Okay, it's doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. All we're asking for is help. And we've been asking for help for 7 years. It's documented. We asked you guys and told you, if you don't fix it, you put in security reasons, and you come in and you threaten us with air quality and all that kind of stuff. It's just it's wrong. This is the example of what you should not be doing. You should be saying, okay, let's examine what you have. Let's look at it. Okay, everybody here has said, I want to see the documentations. Both our stations, you'll see the documentation real quick.
Okay, so with all due respect, I've only been here
to the microphone, please, sir.
I'm sorry.
Don't go there. I've only been here for three months. That does not help.
This is a community problem, right? So we're part of the community. So I want to know who you would like me to work with, or my team to work with, to kind of see how we can address this.
Our city manager.
Okay. All right. So I have my cards here, so I will do that. Because this is a problem. I mean, it's a problem everywhere, but, you know. We'll work.
When you say it's a problem everywhere, what do you mean?
Well,
the unhoused.
Yeah, the unhoused. It's just
he's not talking about
the whole state. I'm not saying the Metrolink system. I'm just saying in general that's on. I mean, it is. It's unfortunate, but it is. And we're here to work. I mean, we'll work with you, see what you do, and come up with amazing strategies, different strategies. And, you know, I'd like to see, you know, your data and your, you know, video, because if we have the station security there, we can maybe change some of the protocols at the station. So, you know, I think working together.
I don't think it's from anybody leaving the station and leaving out. So when you check those people for tickets, hey, kudos to you, but that's not the problem.
Yeah, it's not their evasion.
It's the delivery.
Yeah.
It's when they're coming back. And we've asked for to see where they're getting the tickets. We've asked. We met in your entire board and asked them to change the color of your tickets so we can see where they're getting, where they're different, the tickets are coming from. This is not that we haven't been trying. This is not just something we bring up and slam down. This is something that's been going on for a long, long time. And it's what I call Popeye and out. It's I stands what I can stands and I can't stands no more. And we need to fix it.
So what is the city council member actually design? Because she doesn't have time. What was her response when you asked her about her time on VentureLink and what she did as it relates to this?
What was her response?
Yeah, did you ask her?
Absolutely.
Okay, and what did she say?
She was conflicted because she had a loyalty to you, and she was conflicted, but she's the one that brought up the affidavit from the veterans. People that brought it out. She's the one that's brought up a lot of it. And she also voted along the lines to close it or to give the authority to the NCTC members. Because like I said, we're not here to do any threats or anything. We're here to say, we need help. Well, this is our final straw. We need help.
Well, I guess I'm disappointed because the whole purpose of putting her on was to give her a platform to address this. And obviously, it had nothing to do with loyalty, quite frankly. I talked to her about it and actually did not go to Zoom so she could be prime player. And so it's disappointing to me that Lancaster had a seat at the table as a representative on MetroLink and is choosing to use the NCTC to address this issue when you actually have front row action received on MetroLink. I just want to put that out there.
Okay, let's make it real, Catherine. How much experience does she have? She's been an elected individual for less than a year.
She's got a lot of experience, Mark. A lot. She got elected. She's very well educated. She's very smart.
She is very smart. But she needs to know how everything works. And that's what she was trying to do. Yes, I thought this was where. If we have a problem, I thought this is where we air the problems. I thought this is where we ask for help. I thought this is where we look for people to do it. It's not something that we don't put it on. Trolleets, city manager.
I'm not putting it on.
Well, I am. He rode the train and he reported to me.
You know what? We're going over the same things over and over.
But can I just correct one thing though? And you're right, this is the place to discuss it. And the reason why she was put on MetroLink is because it was discussed here. And I made a promise that you all would have seized the truth. So you are absolutely right, Mark. And I think this is a healthy discussion. But what I would ask is, I know that I'm hearing that you made a motion today regarding this, but I would ask.
Let me stop. I'm not going to do any motion today because I don't think this board has the authority to close it. I don't want a motion from it. It will be a Lancaster decision. Absolutely.
Okay. What I would like is for MetroLink, someone from our office, and a council member from yours. And I'll be there to come up with concrete specific as to what you want. Because you keep saying it's not getting fixed. I have different numbers than you, and I want to know, could it be facial recognition company in that can identify homeless people? I think that's revolutionary. Being sarcastic.
I know.
And be specific in terms of what you're asking for. And if it is stopping people from buying tickets allegedly down below and sending people up here that are unhoused, then we're going to have to find out specifics because we cannot confirm that. So I think it would be beneficial for us to go with action items rather than just talk about, well, if there's less homeless coming out of off the stations, it will know we succeeded. Because I think it's deeper than that. I think it's greater.
Can we please hear the speakers that are leaving?
Okay, yeah. Anyway, is that something we can do more?
And then we can discuss maybe what we can do to help solve the problem after we hear the other speakers.
All right.
Okay, we have two speakers online. We're on item number 9, the Metrolink update. And I believe, Ms. Carey, you'd like to make a comment. Brandy.
Thank you. And I, Mr. Sohickey, and I think I emailed you about this as well, so you don't need to read my comments because I'm still here. Hi. I just wanted to say thank you to the representatives from Metrolink for the wonderful presentation. With the PowerPoint, I learned a few things, which is great. It's a really wonderful service. And I came to this meeting specifically to urge this group to oppose cuts to the train services to the Lantry and oppose the closure of the metro station. There are just a couple points I want to touch on. The most pressing is that I do think that this closure would just be extremely harmful to Lancaster residents who depend on the Metrolink for commuting. That includes me. I'm a Lancaster homeowner. I ride the train every week. I can tell you that the existing transit, I'm sure everyone's doing their best, but is already not great. with transfers and delays, my commute already takes close to 4 hours one way. So adding another transfer would significantly worsen the quality of life for myself and for everyone else who can't find alternate transit. And I'm sure it would also decrease ridership for anybody who can find alternate transit. And I also want to express some concern about the idea that this closure would actually be an effective way to target homelessness. Reporting in the AV press, and also it was mentioned here today, that the homeless ridership is counted by looking at camera footage for people who appear homeless and ride one way. And aside from the fact that this type of profiling is unethical and definitely subject to racial bias, it's also logically flawed. I myself exclusively ride the train once per day, since 4 hours is the most I want to do. So I usually stay in Lancaster or in the city for a few nights between rides. So I think that riding one way and carrying a bag doesn't really give a good evidence for whether or not a rider is homeless. Secondly, my additional concern about this is that I just have a couple more things, sorry. I don't think that this change is really cost prohibitive. If an unhoused person can buy a train ticket, they can also buy a bus ticket. And if they're riding the train for free, then I suspect they could figure out how to ride the bus for free as well. And my last thing is that I just want to say that even if it is true that homeless people are riding the train to Lancaster every day, stopping their arrival really doesn't seem like it should be the priority. Providing transit services for Lancaster commuters who depend on the train definitely seems like it should be the priority, and decreasing the quality of transit and the quality of life for Lancaster residents in order to make things also worse for unhoused people, frankly, seems unethical. An abdication, thank you, an abdication of the responsibility of the city council, this board, and the mayor and vice mayor. Thank you. Thank you for your consideration. I hope that you can protect us from this. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There's a Matthew online.
And you have 3 minutes.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Your time is started.
Okay. All right, thank you. I just want to mention, I read from the paper that the intention is to provide buses for the commuters. But I'm not sure if that term is being used the way I understand it, because I'm a non-commuter that uses the train. I'm a resident in Lancaster, but sometimes I go down to Los Angeles to do shopping. Sometimes I go down into the San Fernando Valley to visit friends, et cetera. And that means, to me, that's not a commuter. That's just an occasional user. How do I get home after a long day of shopping downtown Los Angeles? You know, and if I can get off the train and onto a bus, then what prevents a homeless person from getting off the train and onto a bus with a, I'm going to have bags of stuff with me. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. It sounds like you're talking about three separate groups. You're talking about routine commuters, homeless people, and then I'm in the middle. I'm neither of those. and I'm going to get messed up the way this is described.
Excuse me, let him speak.
I'm sorry. Yeah, one more
time.
I'm hearing a voice, but I can't understand the words.
Okay, Matthew, are you done?
Yes, I'm
Matthew.
Done.
Okay, could you please state your last name for us?
I'm sorry, my last name is Ambrose.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, and have you finished speaking, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, your voice broke up. Say again.
Again, members of the public, if you'd like to speak on this item, please use the raise hand function. If you're on the phone, please use the star 9 function. At this time, Madam Chair, I'm seeing no one online wishing to speak.
And it's my understanding, Catherine, that you have offered to meet with
principals only.
Principals, okay. And can you decide among yourselves when you're going to do that and make sure you do? And maybe we could just take this up again at the next meeting.
I have one question, Gordon.
Microphone, please.
Is there a way, it seems like the technology exists, that we should be able to identify the origin of tickets that we have? Is that possible? So when we look at it, if we identify someone, we'll know exactly where that ticket came from, and then maybe we can use that to then try to identify who's purchasing those tickets.
You're asking the wrong person, because I'm not fair media, but I believe so. We know where tickets are being sold.
They don't have it.
But a lot of them are now digital, right?
The world would make it easier to identify where they
are. Right, but
you balls to go.
Please identify yourself again. Please identify.
Paul Hubler, Chief Strategy Officer. That's a great question. I would have to ask and get back to you about exactly. Typically, the tickets do identify origin destination. So we should be able to identify origin destination. I'm not sure how you would use that, though. If the destination is Lancaster, is that what you're suggesting? You want to
Well, anywhere. If somebody has a ticket,
yeah,
and we can identify them as homeless, without a doubt, and we said, you know, how did you get this ticket? They say a veterans group gave it to us. You know, we'll be able to prove that. And then we can backtrack any tickets that are printed. I think that there's several things that we could do. And actually, I was quite nervous about this conversation, but I think it's going to be productive. You know, maybe we've talked about this before, that if we could stop people from getting to the platforms without a ticket, that might be helpful. If we can know exactly where the tickets are being printed and who's giving it to them, that'd be helpful. So I'm just wondering, with the technology that exists, when we look into this and...
I could try to answer that. What my understanding is at this time, what they're suggesting is digitally, it does tell you where you're taking the train from and where you're going. If you're asking if it can be color coded, I know the vice chair has mentioned this, if it can be color coded to somehow say that group X or group Y purchased this ticket, at my knowledge, they do not have that capability at this time.
Well, I'm just saying that if we can 100% identify when and where a ticket was printed, then we can go back and look to see who bought it.
That they should be able to identify in the system. And again, it will tell you the origin of where they're starting their ride, because they have to activate the ticket. So just buying the ticket is one thing, then you have to activate the ticket. And that ticket, for example, as a rider, it will say Santa Clarita to Union Station or Union Station to Lancaster. It won't say where I bought the ticket, because That's what I'm suggesting. It won't say how I got the ticket.
So a couple of things. The opportunity to light when you get motions going and there's a lot of dialogue, sometimes it's best to go last. So first of all, we weren't necessarily talking about fare evasion. And you speak about we spent all this money from a security standpoint, perhaps with Catherine's suggestion, and now that we've got to see the forefront, perhaps we need to have minds coming together and we do find a solution to stop this. Because I don't think, and Catherine, thanks so much for the emphasis that's been placed historically. But you have to realize if the flow continues on to Lancaster, you can't build housing fast enough. And I'm not suggesting that we should stop building housing. But I'm also suggesting that maybe we ought to stop the flow of the unhoused to Lancaster. And again, we just did a cleanup. We talked to close to 22 people that were homeless. And again, we can get into debates about where did they come from, but it's clear it's not somebody that lived in Lancaster a long time. And for some reason, they fell out of resources financially and they became unhoused. It's clear where they came from. And so I don't know what would come out of the group of us meeting together. I'm real clear that we've had historically the wherewithal to spend the $500,000 in relationship from a security standpoint. Not that it's not appreciated. But again, I think that we're in a position now where we need to collectively get together because we just can't carry the Southland unhoused on our backs. We just can't. You already have people, for whatever reason, become in a position financially that they're unhoused, but damn sure we can't take care of the rest of Southern California. And it's clear to me, again, we got all this emotion in the room, it's clear to me that we've been speaking out, and you lose count when it's year after year after year. And I think now would be the appropriate time.
Yeah. No, and I appreciate that. And I guess you have counsel here.
Yes.
Just out of curiosity, if I'm unhoused and I'm staying, let's say, at downtown local shelter, and they offer to buy a ticket for you to go home, and I say I want to go to Lancaster, do I have to prove that I have a nexus to Lancaster, or can the downtown local shelter prevent me from getting a ticket to Lancaster?
No, no one can prevent it.
So I think we need to look at that too, because and that's going to come back to DPSS, because I've heard, and I think Barb, you may have heard to me, that there was a rumor that if you come up to Lancaster, you can get more aid and get it faster. And I checked that out, and in fact, that was not accurate. But I think we need to drill down to what is really going on, because there are people that do say, I want a ticket to Lancaster, I want a ticket to Ventura. So I think we need to drill down as well. But yes, I do think
I agree. I think that's why we're here. We're saying you need some help. We're at the final straw.
Okay, we need to move the meeting along because we have some other items, and maybe we need to put this on a future calendar.
Well, every NCPC meeting, I'm happy to have this discussion.
No, I know, but hopefully after you meet and have a discussion, then we can see what's what. Right now, I think we're at an impasse on this item. Unless somebody is going to make a motion, I think we need to move on because we need to get the meeting going forward.
I would request that each month we have an item on the agenda specifically regarding this issue as it relates to the Antelope Valley.
Because I think this is not only one station with all of us who, you know, where are our homeless people coming from? Where are our unhoused people coming from? And how are they winding up in our cities? Yes. We have to deal with it as well. So anyway, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let's go ahead.
Just a motion?
Yeah.
And then I'll second Catherine's motion.
What was your motion?
Yeah, I said I'd like to make this a standing agenda item at every NCTC meeting.
Do we need a motion, or can we just do a consensus?
Well,
okay. You can just go.
I mean, if that's the direction I'm given.
We don't need a motion. We just do consensus.
Yeah.
17.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's item 17 about future agenda items. So if that's what people are directing,
yeah.
I will do that on a quarterly basis at our meeting. Okay.
Right.
Got it.
Okay, now we need to move on to item number 12, Metro Legislative Updates.
On item number 12 of the North Los Angeles County Transportation Coalition JPA October 20th meeting, Metro, I believe Madeline, I saw Ms. Moore online, and I believe Rafi Hamparian. So who would like to go first?
I'm happy to jump in. I believe we may have Alex Amadeo on the horn as well. So I'll touch on some of the federal issues. With
please
an eye to
yourself.
Oh, Rafi Hamparian, yes. Los Angeles Metro Government Affairs.
Yes.
So I'll speak with some brevity and with an eye towards content.
Look, maybe. I don't recall.
Go ahead, Rafi.
So the big news obviously continues to be the federal government shutdown, which began at midnight on October 1st. Long story short, what that's meant for the DOT is really a tale of two circumstances. On one end, we have approximately 54,000 employees of the federal government's DOT. Of the 54,000, 12,000 have been furloughed. 11,000 are administrative staffers at the FAA. And the balance is a combination of individuals who work in the Office of the Secretary of Transportation, in the Civil Rights Office, at the FRA, over 200 people furloughed at the FRA. And to date, no rifts have occurred. Why the FTA and the FHWA continue to operate is for the following reason. The FHWA and the FTA are funded through the Highway Trust Fund, and that fund is derives its resources from the 18.4-cent federal gas tax, which continues to be collected even during a federal government shutdown. So what has been halted largely are notice of funding opportunities for grants. They are stalled, and also grant announcements. There was and Judy over at ABTA knows this well, there was a bus and bus facilities low or no emissions grant application earlier this year. Per NOFO, that grant should have been announced 75 days after applications were due. That was September 28th, and those grants have yet to be announced. So these are the continuing impacts of the federal government shutdown. And that's really the big news. The second item I'd focus on before tossing it to my colleague Alex is the authorization. The authorization of the next surface transportation bill is getting in full swing. There's language flying here and there. LA Metro has got a initiative, the USA Build Initiative, which includes provision regarding the federal state partnership program, which is the largest rail grant program that was authorized under the BIL. Metro's proposal is to expand the eligibility for that grant program, which is well north of $1 billion, to include commuter rail and not just limit it to inner city rail. We have a number of other provisions in the USA Build Initiative. Arthur, if folks would like to see it, I'm happy to email that document to you, and you can circulate it to the NCTC members. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. If there are none, I'm happy to introduce my colleague Alex Amadeo for an update on state affairs.
Are there any questions for Bobby? Okay, can you introduce your colleague then, please?
Good afternoon, folks. Thank you for having me. My name is Alex Amadeo, Senior Manager, State Government Relations at LA Metro. I will be brief. There are two major updates on the state side. As you know, the state is, the legislature is currently in recess. The governor had until October 13th to make a signing decision on bills. From Metro's perspective, we had one piece of sponsored legislation that was signed. That was SB 71 that extends a sunset date for certain CEQA exemptions. We also were a formal supporter of AB 394, which was a bill to increase protections against assault for transit workers. The only other update I have is that the Senate is currently undergoing a leadership change that will happen earlier than previously announced. So next month, Senator Monique Limon of Santa Barbara will take over as President Pro Tem. Happy to take any questions if there are.
Are there any questions for Alex? Okay.
Thank you.
We also pulled the Executive Director's report. Madam Chair, you asked for a
week. Yes. Item number 13.
Is there anything specific you'd like me to cover in item 13, or is there any specific questions? One thing I can note that we will have a January item, as you can see on item number 3 of this report. We do have a delay in the construction of the I-5 freeway along the Santa Clarita Valley. As some of you might recall, the completion date was supposed to be at the end of 2026. Metro recently reported at their July and at their October board meeting that that is now delayed until the winter of 2027. At this point, there's no impact in the cost to the project in that delay, but we have asked Metro Program Management to provide a full report at the January NCTC meeting on the delay and any potential cost increase in that delay. That project is being run through Metro with obviously Caltrans in an oversight role. Are there any other questions, Madam Chair, that you might have or any of the members might have on my executive director report? Just for time, I'm just not going to go through the whole report unless there's questions.
All right, I don't see any questions. Are there any hands raised?
I don't see any. I do not see any, but we do need a motion on the consent calendar.
Okay,
for consent calendar, items number 5 through 13, to receive and file and to approve item 5, which is the minutes. We have a motion by Director Barger and a second by Vice Chair Chris. Roll call. Chair McLean?
Yes.
Thank you. Vice Chair Chris?
Yeah.
Thank you. Director Mann? Thank you. Director Niebla?
Yes.
Thank you. Director Barger?
Yeah.
Thank you. Director Pastrella?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Director Berlin? Thank you. Director Bishop?
Yes.
Thank you. Director Olson?
Yes.
Thank you. Director Lutz? Yes. Thank you. The item passes unanimously, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next item is item number 14. Is Caltrans here? Okay, could we do a mini report? Please.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Kelly Lamar, I'm the Deputy Future Director for Program Project Management.
Yeah,
yep. Kelly Lamar, Deputy Future Director for Program Project Management, Caltrans District 7. And I can walk us through, like I said, really quickly. Actually, probably most want to hear about our construction project together. Items have been updated on the file that we sent as far as dates and updates. So I will copy vote project number 1 and construction fellow there.
Yes. Yes, we're on, for the members of the public, we're on slide 62 of your packet. This would be slide number 3 of the Caltrans presentation, State Route 14, item number 1. Introduce yourself, please.
Confidence District 7, getting a report on the ongoing SR 14 Kingdom Rehab project. This project is from Technology to FDA. Our current target date to complete and accept this project is November 2026. Currently, for the north segment, stage 2, phase 2, 3A, and 3B, we have completed Avenues 8 and 8 crossover construction for the Concolo traffic. Also, the 13-foot temporary asphalt lane and phase 3A southbound from Avenue H to Avenue A is completed to shift to phase 3B. And we are currently working on phase 3B northbound, Avenue A, H to Avenue A. And we are on target to complete this month for that one. For stage 2 of the south segment, phase 1A, we still have to complete the asphalt dike and stripe back to 3 lanes. We are expected to complete that work by next month. Phase 2A northbound, Avenue K to Avenue H, we are working on lane 3. We should be on target to complete that work for April 2026. Phase 1B southbound, which is from Technology to Avenue K, we are working on the long-term ramp closures, and our target date is for January 2026. And then again, southbound, phase 2B, southbound Avenue K to Avenue H. But we plan to begin the K rail next month, setting that. And then after we have 1B is complete, then we should be about 6 months to May to complete 2B. So we'll be another 6 months for that.
That's
the
question.
I have a question. Okay. How can we ensure that the contractor is closing the lanes down at the proper time? They have numerous pictures after. So you know that the lanes are closed down at 6:07, and it says on the sign that we closed at 7. So how do we do that? Because they're closing it down at 6 o'clock when it's still 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that'll irritate me.
I have plenty of pictures to show you.
I will take that back with me to the RE because we do have our inspectors out there to make sure that we're not closing early, but I will have to check to see what's shown in the traffic lane closure chart. But what's allowable and permissible, and why those are not matching up.
When you have a rent closed and a picture of it, and it says 7 o'clock, and it's closed, and the picture gave stamped 6:07.
Do you need him to send that to you so that you can see that?
If you can send them through Arthur, but what I'm trying to say is I need to go back to my RE.
And excuse me, your RE is?
James Sheet.
Resident engineer.
I want to make sure that we are not further doing that if that has happened. I want to make sure that that is prevented from happening in the future.
And at this time, do you feel we're going to make that target date of November 2026?
Yes.
That's our best information as of now.
In our meeting this morning, it seems like we are well on schedule to do that.
Thank you.
No further questions. Yes, go ahead.
Just more airing of grievances, I would say, but nothing. Just I'd be remiss if I didn't bring that. Atkinson Construction is the contractor.
Yes.
They've been doing okay. They could be a little neater and a lot. They could be a lot more organized. The contractor can be a lot more organized when they open and close. Vice Chair Chris said is absolutely correct. The on-ramps, they've been asked to open and close them. Recently, they've opened some of the on-ramps. They were closed permanently from Avenue M all the way to Avenue K, or basically almost to I. There's no on-ramps to get on or off. So recently, we just got those reopened again, which is nice because the only way to get around town was just through the arterials until you get to Avenue M. So luckily, we got those open, but there's still a lot of problems like the roads, a lot of the roads, especially through Palmdale, it's very noisy. They haven't done any grinding, they haven't done finished work how they were supposed to. It still makes the noise. And I'm sure a lot of people will agree to this. You go down freeway, it goes.
You brought that up in the past, and we did test it. I did look at it, and it is those striping grinding. So we are trying to find ways to minimize those so that there's a.
Is that final product?
We're trying to fix that, but it's something that wears down over time. But we are looking at some different means and methods of how we can minimize it currently. But it's something that has happened.
It needs an additional grind because to me, like this is a lot of these roads were done in concrete, not asphalt, so they didn't get the grooves right. They're deeper than they should be.
It's because of the temporary traffic striping that. For the different stage construction as we look at traffic either way. So we are working on trying to find ways to add additional grinding, but it's now within part of the original contract. So we do have to write change orders for get additional funding to do that.
It's gonna have to be because for me, and it's just that there's not a lot of cities I drive through where the roads are that noisy.
we did have this on the 101, and we had, when you mentioned it last time, we looked at some other locations to see if this is the same thing that's happening, and it is. And it is coming from removing the temporary shred that we had in place. So we are looking to try and find ways to mitigate it.
Okay, because I don't think, I think when all is said and done, I think when they pull the payroll off, the instructions done, which still a little hesitant to see if it's going to be done by 26. It doesn't seem like, but we're hoping so. You're saying it's going to be done by 26?
That is what we are showing as we are being on target for. You know, barring acts of God, I can't control weather, I can't control earthquakes, you know, virus, millets, all those things play into effect. Yeah, but right now we are on fire.
Okay, and I get that. I'm not trying to complain too much because I understand the logistics of this and how you hire a contractor to do it. It's how I understand how all this works, but the quality needs to be higher. The finished quality of what construction is doing, it has to be higher than what they're currently doing.
And I will take that up to Pat to ask if they help us out with doing their performance.
Okay. And all of the signs have graffiti on them, and a lot of the reflective, they still need to be replaced all the way up and down the court, too.
Yeah.
No.
Graffiti is an ongoing problem that you work with.
Right.
It is something that, you know, no matter how much we chase it down, if we can clear it off at 11 o'clock at night, and by 3 a.m. it's back up.
Yeah, I get that. And then the other ones up and down the 14, it's no graffiti, but the reflectivity.
The reflectivity.
Yeah,
the reflectivity on a lot of
things. And I have that already passed on along to our maintenance division on some of those signs to make sure that we're looking into creating a reflectivity place as we can.
Okay. All right, thank you.
There's one, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, there's one other comment I want to make, and maybe we can talk about this at the next meeting. I know that this Vice Chair Chris has asked before, and I don't know if I have the proper slide up here on the safety and mobility improvements. Not necessarily. There was another SHOP program, I believe, I want to say it was about an $18 million expenditure to do some of the striping, to do some of the signage, to do some of the other things. And I believe, Director Chris, you had asked for them to be on the record that that project would not impede the SR 14 study that we're doing on safety and mobility, that one won't get, you know, spend $18 million and say, hey, we're done, we solved the problem. So we did receive a letter. Candace and Lancaster has been following up on this item. We did receive communication from Metro that they are two separate projects. That it should not impede the SR 14 study. So I just wanted to put that on the record, sir, that we did hear from them in an email. We did not receive a letter as of yet, but we did receive an email that the project that Caltrans is doing on the safety side would not impede the study that Metro is doing on the overall segments one and segments two. If you have further questions or comments, I know we've talked to Candace in the office about that. But Candace, is there something you'd like to add to that? Yeah, please go ahead. Just come to the mic. Okay, please.
James Vanderpied, City of Lancaster. Paul Jean actually let me know as she arrived that there is an official letter and it is just being signed.
Okay.
It's on desks as we speak.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure because I know that question has come up more than once.
Once you get that, could you?
I will put it in the packet for January.
Thank you.
And thank you. And then perhaps for Caltrans, if we can have an update, I don't know if I have the proper slide for that up on the screen at the moment, but if we can have an update on that safety project, I don't know if this is the proper slide that I have on there. I don't think it is. Yeah. So if we could have a specific update on that in January, that, again, I want to recollect it's about an $18 million SHOP program for IAJA. And it was striping, signage, as I know the members in Palmdale have been talking about as well. So let's please add that to our update for January.
Sure. Well, I believe that we're talking about what is on slide 6, project number 10. But we'll make sure that we have the full update for you on time.
That's probably it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay. Let's ask for it right now. We're on item number 14. This is the Caltrans Highway Project Update. If there's any members of the public that would like to comment, please raise your hand or use the star 9 function. Madam Chair, I'm seeing no comments. If we could have a motion on. Oh, please.
I thought you have the Lions Man closed down, and it's counterintuitive to me that you're rallying people up to the McBean ramp, which is going north, to go back south. How could they're not taking them down the old road to get on it south? Right?
There's still more motion.
I'll have to check in with you, get back to you on that one, because I don't have that information. The I-5 is, we are doing oversight, like you said, so I have to check with my resident engineer.
Yeah, I'm
to just see where I've salted up during the last time, we're not getting information on I-5.
Yeah, and we'll also have them update us on the overall schedule.
Question, but typically the reason why we send certain detour routes is more about the truck traffic or the turning radiuses or blind spot, whatever is available for the traffic that we expect.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair.
Item 14 is receive and file. On item number 15, can you please take a quick look at the schedule for 2026 and approve this. Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, we are on item number 15, the proposed NCTC JPA 2026 Board of Governors meeting calendar with a motion by Director Olson and a second by Director Chris.
Do we need roll call or can we just have consensus?
Just do verbal.
Show hands.
Just yeah. Verbal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Item passes.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
what?
You need the item passes. Or I'll do it as a secretary, I guess. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. As the board secretary, the item 15, yes, passes. Okay.
We are now on item number 16, NCTC JPA SCAG Policy Committee appointment.
I could open the item chair, item number 16. We have we as NCTC, we get three policy committee seats on the Transportation Policy Committee at SCAG. It is a virtual meeting. It is not a meeting you have to be there in person as it is with the regional council that some of you are familiar with. Recently, the Palmdale City Council removed Mr. Loa, the council member in Palmdale, from his duties on the NCTC JPA. Therefore, it also made a vacancy for that SCAG seat for Palmdale. So we, as NCTC, I would like to recommend that we have full participation and we fill out our third seat. So like to...
Motion to nominate Ken Mann.
Second.
Can I ask a clarification or to capacity? So, Lord Palmdale, so the Palmdale, Lancaster...
And Santa Fe, right. And then the county has its own seat, virtue of the county. So we get three. There is nothing, I was asked this question as well, there is nothing in our bylaws or in our ordinance that says it has to be from each of the cities, but that has been how we've done it in the past.
And my question to Palmdale, has the city of Palmdale put a name forward that they want to place or have you asked? I would like to know.
Okay, and do we have a nomination for City of Palmdale as well? And is there a second for that motion?
Palmdale?
Who's that for? Need a motion and a second.
Yeah, we need a motion and a second for that.
Right, item 16, right.
Well, hold on. We made this first motion.
That's okay. We can have two people nominated for the office.
I don't know.
All right, so
I will nominate Eric for the City of Palmdale representative. Actually,
okay, so
keep in mind that they switched from Ken Mann
to Palmdale, the
regional position.
So, who can give us the history on this? Because I was told that each city had a representative in order to make it.
Yeah, again, there's
hearing that. No, that's what I want to understand.
We don't have a rep right now. We gave it to Dean Fair, not under any rules. We gave it to Palmdale and Austin Bishop is the regional
So that what if I could clarify, sir. Yeah. So there's Regional Council District 43. That district includes just Lancaster and Palmdale. At the urging of this body and the discussions with the two cities, they have agreed to an alternating between Palmdale and Lancaster for that seat. Mr. Mann had recently gave up that seat in May of this year. And Mr. Bishop was put on that seat by his city council. We have to do an election. The NCTC has to. No, I get it. I'm referencing what the director's vice chair is talking about relative to Mr. Bishop having a seat. So as that continues, as a regional council member, you also get a policy committee appointment. So what I believe Mr. Chris and Mr. Mann are saying is that at this time, Mr. Bishop has chosen to be on the policy committee of transportation. So Palmdale does have a representative on the transportation committee. Currently, our members of NCTC are Lancaster Lauren Hughes Leslie. She is one of our appointees of this body. And Mr. Jason Gibbs is the other member appointed by this body for Santa Clarita. So we have a third appointment of this body. It is independent of what the regional council vote is.
So Lauren's not on this NCTC.
She is an alternate to this board, and she has been motioned by this board to be one of the representatives on the SCAG policy committee. This board has also moved Mr. Gibbs as the other, so we do have two right now.
And when Councilman Manns made the comment about transportation, could Lauren be on the transportation?
Currently, she is on the transportation committee based on this board's appointee. She is one of this board's appointees, as is Mr. Gibbs.
I'm just trying to understand all the logistics of all this.
As is Mr. Gibbs.
So
microphone, please.
I hadn't realized that Mr. Bishop was specifically on the transportation committee.
That his choice as a regional council member. He could choose any of the committees. He chose to be on transportation committee. But again, we have NCTC itself, independent of the regional council. We have three appointees.
Okay, so is that solidified that Mr. Bishop is on the transportation committee? That's what he's
chosen? He has chosen that, yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Bishop can answer that. He's right next to you, but yes, he's shaking his head in the affirmative.
I just thought it would be more equitable because I didn't realize that time. So either way, either Palmdale or Lancaster is going to get two representatives on that committee. So,
correct.
Because he made the motion to us, and if there's to want it more than me, I will withdraw myself.
Okay. So so as the secretary, let me make sure I have this correct. There is a motion on the floor by Vice Chair Christ, seconded by, I didn't catch that, Mr. Niebla, for Mr. Mann to be the NCTC Transportation Policy Committee member of SCAG. Okay,
now we do roll.
Should I ask for members of the comment? If there's any members of the public or in the audience that would like to comment, we're on item 16. And let me see again and use the star raise hand function or the star 9 function. Seeing no public comment, roll call on the motion.
A hand.
Okay, no roll call. Nobody wants to hear me say my voice anymore. All right. Item is approved unanimously that Mr. Mann will, and Mr. Mann, we will communicate that to SCAG. That will be effective as of today for your Form 700 filing, sir. You got one more form to fill out. So, you got yourself out of filing a form, Mr. Olson. Okay. Yeah, I know. I just want to make sure I got to throw some fact into that. Okay. Item 17.
We are now on item number 17, board member comments and future agenda items. And we want to make sure that we have on future agendas the homeless.
Antelope Valley Line Homeless Outreach. Is that how we want to title the item? Yeah. ABL Line Homeless Outreach. Okay. We will put that on the regular consent at the January meeting. Also, Madam Chair, at the January meeting, we do our, after the gavel has been, we will have an item to rotate the chair of the NCTC and vice chair. So you have to go one more meeting, Madam Chair. You have to do the January meeting, and then that would take effect for the April meeting. And
my pleasure. Now, before we can't adjourn yet because we have a closed
session. We adjourn into closed session now.
Yeah, we'll take the closed session, and then we'll come back and report anything that needs to be done and close out the meeting officially.
Okay, so what do we do? Do we have to clear the room?
We keep the meeting open right now. We're moving on to notice of closed session. It's closed session item number one, conference with legal counsel on existing litigation. We will leave the meeting open, and we will adjourn to the council chambers to discuss this item and receive a briefing from legal counsel. Yeah, and then we come back and officially report any action that occurred. Okay, thank you.
Yes. I'm having deja vu.
It's going to be 5 minutes. I just have to notify him.
Board members, please.
Yes.
I know you were busy.
Yeah, I didn't. Members, please, close session. Yes, there is. Call to the vote, question. Bishop, this way, please. Watch for them. This should only take 5 minutes. Paul, you don't have to. You guys don't have to stay unless you want it. We're going to report out of closed session then.
Okay.
Thank you for the time, you know.
My son's in
shape. Yeah. Do I need one? I don't need three.
Well, we're just trying to look for the
Yes, so. No, you're going to be fine.
Unless, I don't know if you're going to. No.
Your new person sounds like he's really much better.
Lori came from Metro. He spent 3 years.
I was like, well, there's two reasons for that. I bet one is there for the legal issues. Additionally, there are always a few
they feel beat up.
And so that's who our working progression program is not going to be working with.
No, it's only an hour and a half. It's like right there. There's no way, there's no bus angle that takes you to the church.
So, all I've trying to do is.
And what purpose, right? Like, why would you? Seriously, I just want to be on the beach.
Oh, I hate the beach, but that's beside. Here they have a fence we were right there.
Yeah, no, no.
You know, safe travels.
I mean, this is a big, I'm talking about you, we got to stop by this house.
Another entertaining session.
Yep. Actually, didn't.
Like 12 minutes away from the city hall. My husband, he runs the Foreign Arts Center in Lancaster, Foreign Center on East Park. And when we were coming married and trying to find an house, originally we were looking out for the Indian Valley, a little more rural. And his hours, he has, theater hours, he'll work from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Sometimes he'll have, in our 2 weeks, including meds, shows, and they see him actually right now. All about to go into busy
cities.
I was driving to look at houses and finishing shows.
And got really, really lucky because we're in like this. We're not on Incorporated. This is on Quartz Hill. But it's like a little slice of what feels like that, like this little half mile each way. We all have half the road on the
paper.
You go in my backyard and you feel like you were over the hill, So, but it's a straight shot to, two streets. Those God things finally worked out for us, because even the price point on the house, but this was back in
Bring it back and then call Mr.
Okay, well, we are reconvened to the open session. Is there any reportable action?
No, Madam Chair, no action report.
Okay, thank you. We are now back. Well, we're already back in open session. Does anyone have any comments or anything you would like to say before we adjourn? We are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you all for coming to Santa Clarita.
I loved it. Very lovely. I love the art in the hallway.
I know, isn't that great?
The buildings
help yourself to water.
Follow and fall down around our head.
Like the HOA.
Have a great day.
Be safe.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Still
water.
Yeah, I'm trying to stop the recording. I don't see. Oh, I got it.
Just add right here. I didn't know.